If you have a Bible, please turn in that Bible to Luke chapter 1. We are going to start a sermon series this morning that we'll be in throughout the Advent season called Good News of Great Joy, and we'll be focusing on the first two chapters of the Gospel according to Luke. If you're going to use one of the Bibles that we have underneath the chair in front of you, it's on page 1087. And this morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Luke chapter 1, 5 through 25. Hear now God's holy and true word. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to be here together, gathered to worship you, to sing, to confess our sins, to be assured of the forgiveness we have by faith in Christ. We thank you that you've given us a chance, an opportunity to fellowship with one another, to give of our resources. And Lord, you have given us now this opportunity not only to pray together, but to be in your word, which is powerful. So we pray that you'll use this time in your word, and that you would strengthen us, that you would, if there are people here who do not know you, that you would draw them to yourself in this time. And for those of us who do know you, that we would be strengthened and reminded of how glorious and gracious you are, and how amazing and loving and merciful you have been to us in Christ. We pray that his name will be lifted high here, for we pray in his name. Amen. Well, it is Christmas time. I mean, it's like crazy, right? But it's like it's Advent season, and all the Christmas music is playing. Z88 is like 24-hour Christmas music already. It's like, hello, but it's on, right? It's happening. So we're in it. We're here. We go, right? We're getting ready. We've got Christmas events coming up. We've got Christmas parties that we're planning. We're going to be buying Christmas presents. I mean, it is full on Christmas time in Orlando. And for a lot of us, that's a really fun thing. We're really excited about that. We get to see family. We'll get to exchange presents. We'll get to do all sorts of things that we love. But at the same time, I think many of you know, we try to be sensitive to the fact that the Christmas season can be a very difficult time for people as well. So we always want to just remember that, remember those who are struggling or suffering. And what's interesting is in this this look at the things that happened just before the birth of Christ, you've got a situation in which a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, what we see about them, not only are they the parents of a very, very important individual, but what we can see in this text is that they had been waiting for a long, long time for something. That their lives had gone unchanged in this one regard for probably several decades. And the reality is, a lot of us are waiting right now. Waiting for God to answer a prayer that we've prayed maybe once, twice, maybe a thousand times. There's a reality that as followers of Jesus, there's times when we wait on God. In fact, Charles Spurgeon says, "If the Lord makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. For blessed are they that wait for Him. He is worth waiting for." The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith, exercises patience, trains submission, and endears the blessing when it comes. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people. And so I know that a number of you, and myself included, we are praying, we are waiting for things. Maybe some of us are just waiting for change in general. We just want things to be different. Maybe some of us are waiting to have a child like Zechariah and Elizabeth were waiting, waiting, and waiting. Maybe some of us are waiting for our child to come to the faith. Maybe you're waiting to see if your health will improve. Maybe you're waiting to see if God will answer your prayers regarding your employment. So the reality is, we're all waiting in different ways. And what's powerful about this passage and looking at Zechariah and Elizabeth's story is we can see some things that we can rule out. And when we rule out the things that tend to steal our joy, we can have great joy even as we wait on the Lord for these things that we hope and pray He will deliver to us in good time. So that's what we want to focus on this morning, that in Christ there is good news of great joy for those waiting on God. What are you waiting for? What is that thing that you've prayed for so long? And so we're going to talk about these three things that we want to rule out this morning. Three things we want to rule out, and that'll leave us with one thing that we do want to focus on. Okay? Because normally when we're waiting on God, there's thoughts that enter our minds and it can steal our joy. We want to fight against that. So the first thing we'll see is in verse 5 through 7. So look at 5 through 7 with me again. Luke chapter 1, 5 through 7. And what you see is, this is in the days of Herod, king of Judea. There was a priest named Zechariah. So he's a main character of this first passage, and then his wife Elizabeth. Okay, so that's our focus at this point, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And what we know of them is that they were Jews and they were faithful. It says they were both righteous before God and walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes. But, verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now, what we can see later in the passage is that this is something that they were praying about. And we know that because their prayer is answered. But we can see that this is something they were longing for. Now, they were pretty old, so they had probably been married younger and been waiting and waiting and waiting a long, long time. And what's interesting about this, and something that we need to understand and really believe, is that they weren't doing things wrong. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says that they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments. Now, that doesn't mean that they were perfect, okay? What it means is they were walking faithfully with God. They were obeying God. They believed in God. And when they would sin, they would repent and perform the sacrifice as they used to do. And so they were walking faithfully with God. Why is that so important? Why is it huge that we recognize that Luke shows us this is a faithful couple walking faithfully with God? Because they also are a couple without a child. It's a couple walking faithfully and waiting for something that God had not yet given to them. So the first thing that we want to see then is this. If God is making you wait, it doesn't mean he's punishing you. This is a very important thing for you and I to understand. Because if you're like me, when God doesn't seem to be answering a prayer that I've been praying for a long time, even a prayer that I believe is in accord with his will, and as I pray it and pray it over all this time, sometimes I think he's not doing it because I have messed up, because I did something wrong. What did I do? And you kind of search your mind, you start thinking, and it can drive you insane. And that's why I love to see in this moment what we see is Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were walking faithfully. They were not being punished. This had nothing to do with punishment in any way, shape, or form. Now, we should say that if you're not a Christian, or if you're a Christian who's living in unrepentant sin and God is withholding something from you, he may be causing you to wait in order to give you time and give you a realization to come to him, to repent of your sins and to follow Christ. But for those of you walking faithfully with the Lord in repentance and faith and obedience and waiting on something, it's not punishment. Like you need, I mean, think about that for a second, because it goes through your mind, does it not? I remember when some of our really good friends were waiting. We met them halfway through their waiting. Some of you know them, Ben and Renee Sarlous, who moved away not too long ago. And they, if you know them, you know that they waited a long time for children. They were trying to have children for quite some time, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth. They went to the doctors, and the doctors said, there's nothing wrong with either of you, and they just couldn't figure it out. So they were waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing ever happened. And so the better part of a decade, they waited, and then eventually they began to pray about adopting. And so they ended up adopting a little boy named Alex. I remember when we got the phone call that they were able to adopt this child, and we were just so thrilled. And then about a year or year and a half later, they adopt another child, JD. And so now they've got these two boys. And I remember asking Renee, you know, would you do it differently? Would you rather go back in time and skip the waiting? And she said, no. She wouldn't change a thing. She loved these boys more than she could ever imagine. Oh, and then they got pregnant twice. So there's, you know, that's when I think a faithful couple walking with the Lord waiting, man, it's just Ben and Renee just jumped out at me, because they waited and they waited, and their waiting had absolutely nothing to do with any type of punishment. It was all because of God's plan, right? God had a very special plan for that waiting. And so that's one of the things that we can see here, that as we are waiting on God, God does not want us frantically thinking, have I screwed up? Have I done something wrong? What's going on? What did I do? How do I fix this? He wants us to trust that if he's got us waiting, he's got a plan. It's not about punishment. Next, look at 8 through 17. 8 through 17. So Zechariah is a priest and he's serving. His division is up. There's about 8,000 priests. And they were divided into all these different divisions, 24 divisions, and your division would occasionally be serving at the temple. And it says that in verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. This is actually really huge, because not only is this something that his division is the one serving at the temple this day, but he gets to be the one guy out of that division chosen to do this very special thing. And this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah. In fact, this was so special that if you got chosen to do this, then you were never allowed to do it again, because they wanted as many priests to be able to get to have this very, very special opportunity. So here's Zechariah, and he's chosen to do this very, very special thing. Okay, so this is a big day for Z, right? And so He's in the temple. Everybody is outside praying, and we would know that they're praying for the redemption of Israel as he is going in to burn incense in this particular part of the temple. And it says in verse 11 that an angel of the Lord appears standing there on the right side of the altar of incense. And this, of course, Zechariah is totally afraid at this moment. That's what we see in Scripture. Every time somebody sees an angel, they're absolutely petrified. If somebody ever says to you, "I saw an angel," you know, they should be saying, "I think I saw an angel." I mean, it's absolutely petrifying to see an angel. And so here we go. Here we have him in this moment, verse 13. But the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." And then he just explains that this, it's not just that you, Zechariah, are going to have a son. You guys, he's saying, you guys get to be the parents of one of the most important human beings in the history of the world. You get to be the parent of ultimately of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord, to fulfill the ministry of Elijah, which is what the angel mentions here. The Old Testament ends basically telling the people of God that God would come, and before he would come to visit his people, Elijah would come and turn the hearts of fathers to their children. And so, in this moment, the angel is telling Zechariah that not only are you going to have a son, but you're going to have this son who's going to play a major role in the redemption of Israel. Talk about an answer to prayer, and that's the thing. Look at 13. You who are waiting on God. Look at verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." That is the key thing here in this passage, that the prayer had been heard. So the next thing that we want to see, if God is making us wait, it doesn't mean he's punishing us. It also doesn't mean he's not listening. That's the number one thing that we tend to think when we've prayed something over and over and over. God, are you listening? Do you even hear what I'm saying? And this is proof that God is listening. God does hear our prayers. Every single one of them. In fact, the question that we kind of ask ourselves is, was Zechariah standing there right then praying still for a child? It's hard to tell. Maybe they gave up praying decades ago because they're fairly old now. Maybe this is an old prayer that's being answered. Or maybe Zechariah, even though he's supposed to be standing there praying for the redemption of Israel, is actually still saying, "God, we still would like a child." He knew that God did hear prayers. He knew his Old Testament, Psalm 65. Verse 1 says, "O you who hear prayer directed at God," Psalm 66:19, "but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." So that's the reality that you and I need to know, that God is listening. Every time we speak to him, he does hear. Let me tell you why that's so important. There is actually there was a study done that's very interesting in about being heard. In fact, it was a group of psychologists that were studying tension between opposing groups. So they studied the tension between several different opposing groups, Palestinians and Israelis. They studied the tension between illegal immigrants and white people in Arizona. That's awkward. Sorry, but it's true. So they also all these different groups, right? And so take the Palestinians and Israelis, for example. They've got this study of these two, and here's what they found, that what they had them do is they had them basically speak to one another, get them in the same room, and they spoke to each other and shared about their concerns and how they felt about things. And what's so interesting is what they found is that when individuals were given a chance to share their stories and experiences with people from the other side, it helped improve their attitude about the opposing group. Isn't that crazy? Like, nothing else is different. Simply just having been heard by the other group, it improved their attitude towards that group. The effect was even stronger when it was a member of a disempowered group being heard by someone from a dominant group. Very interesting, the power of being heard. And the thing is, you know, we are not opposing groups. God is not opposing us because of Christ, and we are not opposing God because of Christ. And so even more for us, we should feel that power. We should feel that impact. Every single time we pray, it helps us with our attitude towards God, because we know, if we believe what the Bible says, we know that He is listening. So one of the things I would say, if we're waiting on God and not praying regularly about this, one of the ways to get your joy back as you wait is to take it to Him in prayer. Because He is listening. Take this message this morning as God saying to you, keep talking to me, because He is listening. Okay, so if God has you waiting, it's not because you're being punished. It's not because He's not listening. Let's look at 18 through 25. 18 through 25 to see our next thing that we want to rule out. Zechariah says to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Can we just like take a second here to think about what's actually taking place? So Zechariah is a priest. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. He knows that God, in his mind, he believes God chose him to have this special role that day because he was chosen by lot, and they believe that God was sovereign over that, which he is, sovereign over all things. So this is a very once in a lifetime deal. It's already a very, very special day. And then he's standing there in the temple and an angel appears, right? And is standing there in the angel's glory, probably maybe shining white like we see other angels in the scriptures, a very fearsome moment. And this angel is standing there in the temple, a specific part of the temple where Zechariah was chosen by lot to be. Okay, very, very, all these unique puzzle pieces came together quite nicely. And the angel is speaking to him and tells him that his prayer has been heard and that he's going to have this child. And it's this amazing moment of revelation. And Zechariah stands there and says, yeah, but how am I going to know for sure? And so look at the response by Gabriel, 19, I'm Gabriel, basically what he says, right? He says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I was sent to speak this to you, to tell you this good news. In other words, what do you mean? How are you going? Here's how you know. Temple, angel, unique situations. Wake up, Z, right? So there's this amazing reality. Number one, what we see there is how reluctant we are to just take God at his word, right? Whether it's from an angel or from the Bible, you and I just struggle to really believe God's word. But the other thing that creeps in when we are waiting on God is the idea that maybe God can't do this thing that I'm waiting for. Look at what he says. Look at why he isn't sure, why he doesn't believe he can know this. Verse 18, he says, how shall I know this? For I'm old and my wife is advanced in years. In other words, he's saying, angel, what you're saying to me is impossible. Because you're saying that me, old man, and my wife, who is an old woman, and we're way past the child bearing years, she's been barren for all these years. So you're talking about a physical impossibility. And that's what we see on Zechariah's heart in this moment. Is that he doesn't believe that God can do it. And this is something that we need to rule out. So the third thing is, if God is making you wait, it doesn't mean he can't do or won't do the thing that you are waiting on him for. And here's what's so interesting about this. Like, the way that the angel responds then, and the situation that Zechariah gets put into is very interesting, right? His problem with what the angel is saying to him is he doesn't really feel like God can overcome some sort of physical situation. Right? So what happens? He is made unable to speak. The angel says, all right, you don't get to talk for a few months. Here we go. And basically what's happening in that is, even though it was definitely, you know, it was a harsh form of discipline, It was also an incredible sign that God actually is sovereign over the physical aspects of the world, even our own bodies, because he could not speak. And so it's even a gracious little discipline where he sees that his question, can God do the impossible when it comes to the physical body? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And so that's you and I. We need to have faith. You and I need to believe that whatever it is we are asking God for, he may not do it because it's not part of his plan, or he may make us wait longer or whatnot. But at the very least, we should never struggle with the idea that God can't do something or that he won't do something. He's so much more gracious than we realize. I read about this man's crazy story. This man who lived in Chicago, and he had moved to Kentucky for a while. And while he was there, he met this young lady, and they began to date, and then they ended up getting married. And when they got married, they decided to move to Chicago and live there. And so they had been there for about 3 years, and things were going pretty well. And then she got sick, and she had a seizure. And after the seizure, she basically had literally lost her mind. She couldn't think straight. When she was at her best, she had symptoms like dementia. At her worst, she would scream at the top of her lungs so much that the neighbors were complaining, and he felt compelled to pack up and move out into a rural area outside of Chicago. And so he was living with her and trying to care for her, and waiting and waiting and wondering, is this ever going to change? And surely praying and asking God to deliver her from this unexplained situation that just came upon them. And one of the visits to their family physician, on one of the visits, the doctor said, you know, have you taken her back to Kentucky lately and just kind of driven her around the old town and taken her to see some familiar sights and stuff? Have you done that lately? Maybe it's a good idea to do that again. And so he said, all right. They hopped in the car, and then, you know, a few days later, and they drove down and drove around her old town, and where she grew up, and went to her old house, and brought all these familiar surroundings back into play. But nothing happened. So they ended up getting back in the car, and they were driving back to Chicago, and he was very defeated. He was very discouraged, and just, you know, just continuing to wait and wonder. And probably was wondering if God could do this. On that trip back, there was a point in which he noticed that she had fallen asleep. And so he kind of glances at her, and she looked different. She looked like she was more at peace than she'd been for a long time. And so then, when they got back to their house, he carried her into their bed and laid her down, and she was still sleeping, so he covered her up, and he decided to just sit there and wait. And she slept all the way through the night, and he sat there and was just watching, waiting, praying. And then in the morning, she sat up, and she, for the first time in years, spoke clearly, and she said, I seem to have been on a long journey. Where have you been? And speaking from weeks and months of patient waiting, he says, my sweetheart, I have been right here waiting for you this whole time. And suddenly she was back to normal. And so he realized God can do that. And that's one of the things that you and I need to remember too. Jesus tells us in a couple different places, in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, that all things are possible with God. That gives you so much hope. That gives me so much hope when I am praying for these things that I'm waiting for and wondering, God, are you ever going to do this? Can you do this? I know the answer is yes, because the scriptures tell us that. So that's the third thing. When we are waiting, we need to remember all three of these things. That it doesn't mean he's punishing us. It doesn't mean he's not listening. It doesn't mean he can't do these things. You know what's amazing is the cross really brings all these things together. This is how this passage points us directly to Jesus and to the cross. Take a look at verse 25. So here's the moment when Elizabeth finds out that she is pregnant. right? And this is her response. Okay, after all these years that she's been praying as well, that she's been waiting on the Lord, and now she finds out that she is going to receive a child. And she says in verse 25, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." Interesting word, interesting thing for her to focus on. She's saying that by God giving me this child, God is taking away my reproach. Another word for reproach is disgrace. Another word would be shame. In other words, Elizabeth is receiving a child and that takes away her shame. And that points us directly to Christmas and to the cross, because ultimately Christmas is about the world receiving a child who will take away our shame. Our greatest need is that our guilt and our shame would be removed, and it is done through Christ on the cross. And so the cross is the proof that God is not punishing you and me, because he punished Christ so that he would not have to punish you and I for yours and my sin, right? And the cross is the proof that God is listening, because we know that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and God has saved us. He has heard people crying for salvation to him, and he has sent Christ to die on the cross. And the cross is also the proof that God can do anything, because if you think about it, the number one thing that we should wonder about, how can that possibly happen? How could God do that? How can God forgive me of my sin? And the reality is the cross is the proof that God has taken our sin, taken it off of us, put it onto Christ, and then punished Christ. So he paid for that sin entirely, and we receive righteousness as a free gift by faith. And it's all through the cross. Jesus is the child that we receive, and he takes away our shame. And as we wait for him to return and make all things new, we will have other waits, things we will wait for. But we can wait with joy, because we know we're not being punished. We know he's listening. And we know he can do anything. Let me read this from Charles Spurgeon one more time. "If the Lord makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. For blessed are all they that wait for him. He is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith, exercises patience, trains submission, and endears the blessing when it comes. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people." So as we all wait for the return of Christ and the making of all things new, let's pray. Father, I just want to specifically lift up those who have been waiting a long time and praying a long time. I pray that you will be with them and sustain them and remind them of your goodness. And we pray, Lord, that you will deliver these things that we are asking of you, if they are in accordance with your will. And if they're not, that you would change our hearts so that we would want things that are. Lord, as we celebrate Advent and move towards the celebration of Christmas, would you just help us wait well for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.